this is the KHNS Local News, broadcasting live from Skagway. I'm Tara Bicknell. Coming up, we'll have someone from the National Park Service to find out why not everything that's exotic is good. And we'll check in with Candace Wallace on about a citizen-driven effort that has to do with lowering taxes in Skagway, and find out why artists from all over the area are in Skagway today. More than that coming up next. Southeast representatives split their vote as the House defeated a bill extending Alaska's coastal management program. Supporting the measure were Juneau Democrat Beth Kurtula, Juneau Republican Kathy Munoz, and Wrangell Republican Peggy Wilson. Opposing the bill were Haines Republican Bill Thomas and Ketchikan Republican Kyle Johansson. The measure failed to pass Tuesday as the House split 18-18. Four representatives were excused. Governor Sean Parnell said he would veto the bill. The Senate passed the measure 11-7 earlier. All three Southeast senators voted yes. Juneau Democrat Dennis Egan, Angoon Democrat Albert Kukesh, and Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. Two senators were excused from the two-day special session. The House vote means the Coastal Management Program ceases to exist on June 30th. The program employed 33 people, most in Juneau. Almost 20 artists and up to 150 tour operators from Whitehorse, Haines, and Skagway are meeting this week in Skagway. But here's the interesting part. There won't be any tourists there. I'm here with Kara Cosgrove, owner of Kermsey's, who is going to tell us more about why the artists are here.
Hi, Tara. It's good to be here. We're just having some fun together, getting all the artists. We represent many artists in Haines and Skagway and Whitehorse and throughout Alaska. And it's fun when you get a talented group of people like that together in one place. They're just a good group.
And you've got local artists from Whitehorse, Skagway, and Haines, is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And about how many from each of those places? Do you have any idea?
Boy, I think there's 20 all together. Haines and Skagway is pretty even split, and then just a couple from up in Whitehorse could make it.
I always love seeing when an industry like that, especially something as close to us as art, comes together and brings, you know, Skagway and Haines and Whitehorse together, since we're such close neighbors. Is that something that kind of drove getting this together?
You know, for me, the driving force is the creativity and the artwork itself. I just admire them for having the courage to put out something from themselves in that way. And to try to make a living at it, nonetheless, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. So it's fun to be a part of that. And it's just always a surprise to see the merchandise that they bring in. It's always new and exciting. I never quite know what's going to be in the boxes when I open them. And when you put these people together, that creativity just spills out. And it's hard to describe, but it's wonderful to be around.
Good, and local artists in communities the size of Skagway and Haines don't often get a chance to hang out with other artists, especially from out of town, so that's a great thing. Well, have fun tonight, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you.
And about 2 months ago, the Skagway Assembly passed an ordinance that basically took 2 cents off of a gallon of motor gas sold in the borough by not charging sales tax on top of state and federal excise tax. But some residents say that's not enough. We're talking to Candace Williams, business manager at Services Unlimited. And go ahead and tell us what the problem is exactly.
Well, right now, a 5% sales tax on the dollar amount per gallon is being charged. We're lobbying for there to be a flat gallon tax of 15 cents. So no matter how much gas prices increase, the consumer will only be charged 15 cents a gallon for local sales tax.
Gotcha. And the borough has done some work here with gas and other things. A couple years ago, they lowered or quit taxing food, correct, a few years ago. And the Finance Committee is saying that you know, responding to these concerns would cause, a disconcerting loss in tax revenue. What do you have to say about that one?
Well, I think that our tax revenue is going to be just fine. And I think it's up to the people of the community to be able to direct how they would like their needs addressed as far as taxes. And the need is that the majority of our consumers here need a reduction in the cost of fuel. And so that's why I think it's really important, because it's a need, it's not a want.
Gotcha. And can you give a more description on how this tax is impacting the community here, individuals, business owners, people who drive cars?
Okay. Well, for example, if you're a family and you have two vehicles, the average vehicle's usage is about 50 gallons a month for the two vehicles. And what that means is that you're spending the equivalent, if you're working and you earn $12 an hour, you're working 3.5 hours a year just to pay the difference in the sales tax between the flat tax and what's currently charged at today's prices. So people need to put that into context.
Okay, and there is an effort going on, an active effort to kind of do something about this. Can you explain what is happening and what kind of momentum has occurred up till now?
Okay, Services Unlimited, the local gas station, the owners are very concerned about the community members and the need to get the, you know, most bang for their buck, so to speak. So they have a petition, and anybody can come into Services Unlimited, it's on 2nd and State, and sign the petition, and both registered and non-registered voters can sign.
How many do you have so far?
We have over 60 signatures so far. We just started.
All right. Well, you have left information on where people can find out more about that, and thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Now, if you look around, there's white sweet clover all around. It's the tall, hardy-looking plant that grows in bunches. It can be a few feet tall, and it's topped with these white clusters. And Zachary Goodrich with Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park, he's also known as Goody, says it's an invasive exotic, but that's not such a good thing. Can you explain more about what that exactly means?
Sure. So invasive plants are basically exotic plants, meaning they're not from around here, that are particularly aggressive. They can exploit resources such as water and nutrients. They spread rapidly, and they can displace a lot of native plants. And the ecosystems that these plants come from typically have controls that keep them in check, like different insects or diseases that keep their levels down. But when they're spread to places like Skagway, the ecosystems here don't have those kind of checks in place. So they can spread pretty rapidly. The reasons why we should care. One thing that really hits home here in Alaska is a lot of plants, like some examples here, reed canary grass. It's a pretty aggressive grass, which can spread by producing a lot of seeds or vegetatively. Some of the root fragments spreading downstream can kind of take hold and spread the grass. And often it grows in waterways. So this kind of can affect the reproduction of salmon here. Salmon rely on a gravelly substrate to reproduce. So reed canary grass can kind of stop up some sediment and ruin that habitat for salmon reproduction. And some other things, wildlife. So a lot of invasive plants can be toxic to wildlife. White sweet clover has a chemical called coumarin, so that's toxic to grazing animals, horses, or other wildlife like moose that people hunt. And also glucoside is a chemical that's found in yellow toad flax, and that's found around here as well, toxic to grazing animals.
Wow, you really know your stuff. And is the white sweet clover particularly, is it actually a problem here? Do we need to worry about all those things that you just said could happen?
Yeah, so white sweet clover currently in Skagway is contained to the airport and a couple patches up on the Klondike Highway. But the reason we're really trying to control it now is because it's at this level where we can see where it is, and we can prevent it from spreading to other places like the park. And this is typically the case in a lot of places in Alaska, too. Alaska has pristine ecosystems for the most part. Invasive plants really haven't taken hold here yet, so we're really trying to control everywhere in Alaska right now to keep invasive plants from spreading into these pristine ecosystems. But in contrast to the lower 48, there's a lot of things that have really taken over. I'm from New York, and some things like Phragmites, that's just kind of completely taking over wetlands. And another thing, Japanese knotweed is found all along the Susquehanna River, very invasive things. So we can definitely prevent that from happening here if everyone does their part.
What part can we play? Is there anything we can do about it?
Yeah, definitely. So just basically being aware of where you are, kind of brushing off your boots and clothing when you're in an area to prevent the spread of seeds. Looking out for invasives is great too. And actually tomorrow we are having a community weed pull for the white sweet clover, which you were just talking about, at the airport. So that's one of the places it's contained to. So we're trying to limit its spread there. So the event is from 9 to 1 p.m. tomorrow at the airport, and we're going to provide pizza and egg rolls. The Thai Watershed Council is donating those. Thai Inlet Watershed Council, and there'll also be t-shirts for people that volunteer for 4 hours. So yeah,
great. Well, you got a community weed pull that's Friday 9 to 1 at the airport for Skagwegians, and you got some good stuff if you do show up there. And thank you so much, Sarah Curry.
Thank you.
And that's the KHNS local news, broadcasting live from Skagway.